we come to the book of Ephesians, probably right in the center of it, in the whole, I would say the climaxing and the working out of what God is saying to us is to bring us into a place of maturity. Tonight we'd like to just encourage our heart in this area of spiritual maturity and God's design, and definitely our responsibility. As you go on over into the fifth chapter and you look back, you can see that there's encouragements there from the apostle, but you can see the focal point of his emphasis being brought to bear in the beginning verses of the fourth chapter, where he lays the groundwork of God's oneness, the attitude of each one of us in our approaching the things of God. And these are so important, but sometimes we're insensitive to the responsibility. Let me just give you a second-hand story tonight, so it's not from me, it's some that I heard, but it spoke so loud and clear. Man had six in his family, and this particular night they came to the supper table, and it was one of the girls' times to cook the meal, and when they got there was nothing on the table. And so he said to his daughter, he says, how come you didn't cook the meal? She says, I wasn't hungry. A lot of real spiritual lessons, if you just stop and think a minute. A lot of spiritual lessons revealed right in that. The first thing is, she was only thinking about herself. When we come into the body of Christ, we're just like we come into the family. We've got to think of more than just ourselves. And in theory, we do. Too often in practice, we don't. We're still looking for ourselves rather than really knowing that spiritual discernment that is so necessary in this hour. There's only one way that we can get this spiritual discernment, and that is by the Holy Spirit. There's no formula. There's nothing I can tell you tonight what you can do to receive this. This is that aspect of the Spirit of God as He comes in to our lives. Made alive. He's the one that creates the desire. And if we do not respond, why, God alone knows why that we're not responding in the proper way to Him, to where we can go on. And in looking at ministry as such, or sharing, are serving, because this is all part of it as you look at ministry. We've got to kind of restructure our thinking when it comes to ministry, to really see what it means to serve one another. That little story might affect us and show us some areas that we can move in our responsibility to each other. And Ephesians 5:15, from another translation other than the King James tonight, might also give us just a hint. It says, live life then with a due sense of responsibility as those who know the meaning and the purpose of life. Let me just read the last part. Who know the meaning and purpose of life. Because without understanding, without seeing, spiritually speaking, into the heart of God, we do not know what the meaning or the purpose of life is all about. And I believe there must be that hungering before God if we're going to know the fullness, because I don't believe that any of this comes in some easy way, that it's just handed to us on a platter, and all of a sudden there we are and we have the ability. As I read and start to know a little bit about the experience of the Apostle Paul in his working out as one that is serving, it also speaks to my heart, as I hope it will speak to each one of us tonight, to realize that we are nothing, yet realizing the importance and the responsibility that we must bear up underneath. Because even though we don't like to admit it, if somebody is there to really brag about us, be thankful for the little things that we're doing, we can just shine and come on. But how about when there's nobody saying anything? Then can we go on to really lay down our lives? Because that's where it counts. Paul, in his speaking to the Corinthians there in the first part of his first letter, there was another thing that stood out to me, and I trust that we can let it speak to us tonight. He said, I could not speak to you as spiritual. Where does he start? If we're not spiritual, can we discern that we're not spiritual? Or can somebody discern that we're not spiritual? What steps do we need to take? And of course, the Apostle Paul, he zeroed in, as far as the trouble was concerned, why they were not spiritual, what they had their eyes on, what he called carnality. And then he brought them to the place of showing them the value of men that say they are something and are nothing. And he included himself right in there. He said, Paul, who is he? He's nobody. Now come on, follow me tonight, because we need to see this particular lesson. Who is Paul? Who's Apollos? They're nobody. That's what Paul says. If you don't believe it, just turn to it and read it. You don't look like you believe it. 1 Corinthians. Who then is Paul? Third chapter, fifth verse. Who is Apollos? But minister by whom you believe, as the Lord gives to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters. You know, I continue to hear different ones saying, you know, Paul was the greatest Christian that ever lived. I don't believe it. Come on, you've got to get down and think with me now tonight. Think in the Spirit. God was a man that, I mean, Paul was a man that God used. God gave grace, and he must give an account. But the greatest? Jesus, when he spoke about the greatest, he spoke about John the Baptist. And he said, well, any of you are greater than John, and he's the greatest. There was no greater, and yet you are greater than he is. When it comes right down to it, beloved, when we think clearly and honor those that God has used, who is Paul? Nobody. When it comes down to it, everything that he has that's been given to him, he's only responsible as far as being one that has labored with what God has given him. Right? Paul's nobody. You're nobody. I'm nobody. When he comes right down to it, everything that we have has been given to us. So how can we say that Paul or anybody else is the greatest Christian you ever read about? When all it is grace, and Jesus is coming through, and Jesus is going to be all in all. Just trying to get a proper perspective so where we can see clearly. Because if not, we will be led by nothing more than our minds. And this sounds good, and we would even get it behind it and fight it. Fight for it. I don't know of anybody any more gifted than the Apostle Paul. And yet, when he came to the church, he said, don't pick out those that are supposed to be real spiritual. Go get the least of the saints and let them judge the matters that you're going to take to court. But brother, we need men that are qualified. Choose the least. Are you understanding what I'm saying, so that we can come to a place of knowing and seeing the true meaning and purpose of this life that God has given us in Christ Jesus? Because if somehow in the back of our minds and down deep in our thinking, we imagine somebody is something, and that's what they were doing in Corinth. They were lifting these men up, and he said, you're not spiritual, you're carnal. And so we've got to get over to a place, and I think each one of us desire this. We're praying this way, and I believe we're desirous. We've got to get over where we're spiritual, to where we look at things the way God looks at it, and we see that it's only grace. And Paul was a great propagator of grace, was he not? He knew who he was in Christ. We should know who we are in God. But all of this is leading up, I think, to a place of seeing our responsibility. And we can't see our responsibility unless we see the meaning and the purpose of life. And when I say life, I'm not talking about life here on this planet. I'm talking about the life that we've been brought into in Christ Jesus. The meaning and purpose why God has taken and translated you, taken you from one kingdom and put you into another kingdom. I know we've talked about ministry many times. I don't want to deflate it to a place that it's not, and I don't want to elevate it to a place that it is not either. But I see through these particular passages here in the fourth chapter of Ephesians that the Lord Jesus Himself has a purpose. And he has called and he has given vessels. And as we glean by the Spirit some of the words that are used, we can start to see that these things are worked in the lives and through the lives of those that have given themselves to the purpose of God. Just like the story. Do we think only of ourselves? If I'm only looking at whether I'm hungry or not, we're not concerned with anybody else's hunger. And today, if I'm not hungry, I'm not going to worry about anybody else. Why should I? I'm not hungry. Why should you be hungry? Why should I serve you? No responsibility. Not seeing that she's part of a family. Lori? And this is a lot of times our trouble. We do not see that we're part of the family of God. We've been brought into it. We are His workmanship. Oh, that's easy to read over. You know that. What does it mean? We are His workmanship. And what does it say? Created. God's creation. His predestinated sovereign plan. We are created unto every good work. What is those good works? Out here just visiting the jail, feeding the ones that are hungry and healing the sick? No, it's serving the grace, whatever it is. Whether in the jail or whether it's here or the hungry or whatever, wherever it is, the ones that need clothing or the ones that need the message, whatever it is, we have been created so that God's body, the body of Christ, can function. And I like to look at these different callings or different gifts that He gives as kind of channels. Because if they're what Paul says they are, they're nothing. Even though just about every epistle he tells you who he is, and he's trying to establish, I'm an apostle called of God. But he's not elevating, as you go on to see. This is not a man that is exalting himself with these expressions, but he's merely revealing what God is doing and establishing a place to where that word can have an effect. It's God's working. It's not man's working. But as you read here, you start to see that he has given each one of us a place of responsibility. Each one of us, even though we say, well, I'm not an apostle, not a prophet, not an evangelist, not a pastor, not a teacher. Glory, these are only gifts. And I say it with the Apostle Paul, they're nothing. They're only given to bring the church as the family of God to a place of maturity, a place to where it can function and labor. Glory. These are given for the laboring, to where the church can be brought to a place that it moves, that it labors. These words speak to us. It's not just a one-time doing something, but it's laboring. A lot of times we look at the different aspects of even training, and training is an important part in the working of God, of making disciples. We have time, and, you know, trying to be fun, talented. Laboring until you see manifested in lives what you see as far as the meaning and purpose of the life that we have been brought into. It's a labor. It takes every spiritual ability that God would give us. It takes God's direction on a daily and moment by moment basis. And sometimes, too many times, most of the time, we say, Lord, stay here, I'll take care of it. Now, we sure wouldn't say that because we know that's wrong. But that's exactly what we do. We think we can work it out. But yet we need the direction of the Holy Spirit. Every step that we take, every word that we utter, every direction, because there's a lot of things that we do not see in the natural, and we try to work out things in the natural, and you can't work the spiritual in the natural. There's no way. So if we're going to work the spiritual, and we're thinking tonight, I trust that the whole outlook of our lives should be one of spirituality, right? Right? Glory. And so we must be moving by the Spirit to somewhere down the line see spiritual maturity. Isn't that what Paul's saying? In other words, he's given these different ministries, these different channels for his grace, because what we're just talking about is grace flowing through these different vessels. They're all given by grace. They all function according to the measure of grace. And grace is for me. It's grace in what God can do. It's not what I can do. It's not what somebody else can do for me. It puts me in a very hopeless position, and that's good. Because then God can start to labor. But until I enter into that hopeless place, which is really a place of rest, it just brings peace to my soul, and I'm at rest, knowing that He's going to work everything. I'm not just indifferent to the thing. I'm totally active spiritually. I'm alive. The Holy Ghost can speak to my heart at any moment. He can reveal this and reveal that. He can tell me what to do here. Just simple little things that I've been missing all along, but because I'm not attentive. I'm not spiritually alive. I cannot see. I cannot discern. Why can't I? Because God has given us every ability that we need in the Holy Spirit to discern and to know what we need to know as far as the meaning and the purpose of life. In fact, Peter also says it there, as you all know, he has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. How? By his divine power. What does that mean? It means very simple, that the Holy Spirit has come to be our life. It doesn't take too long to become spiritual if we are submitted to the head. It's only when we start as the Corinthians did. There was division, there was strife, there was that area of carnality that entered in. They were moving as men, they were not moving as those that had been born into the family of God. Now, you may ask, why? God is greater than anything that we are. Why can't God just push on in? Why didn't He push on into the Corinthians and just set these ones aside and set them right to where they would go on to be spiritual? Because they had the wrong value at that particular moment of ministry. Is that true? Some were following Paul, some were following Apollos. Some said, we're after Peter. Some said, we even serve Christ. They had the wrong value. Their value system was wrong. You've heard me not too long ago. I shared a little bit in this area of what we see around us happening today. And I don't think most of us really realize what is happening, but let me give you a little insight as far as what I discern is happening. We have a group of well-meaning. And when I'm saying this, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just showing us that as spiritual people, we ought to be discerning what is happening. That doesn't mean that we're to be taken up with it in any area. We are to be taken up with one thing, what the Spirit of God is doing. But we have a vast move today of, you can call them anything you want to, but they're those group of do-gooders. If that doesn't put them down too far in our eyes or anything, I'm not trying to do that. But they are trying to legislate morality. And they feel that they can do this. Well, they can't. Because right on the top of what they're doing is trying, because they're caught up with some little cause. The biggest thing that we see around us today, and we can be taken up with, we can be drawn right into it because we're sympathetic. The unborn babe is being murdered. Millions of them are. And so they're going to legislate this. They're going to legislate morality. You'll never legislate morality. But while that's happening, you know what else is happening? And we're not to be taken up with this either. What we're seeing happen right in before our eyes, while they're trying to legislate morality, bring God back into the picture, the Supreme Court is legislating God out of the picture. I mean, honestly, legislating right out, the same thing that Russia did 70 years ago. Legislate God out of the government. I don't believe in God being in the government. I don't believe God's concerned with the government. So, I mean, don't get me wrong what I'm saying. But we do not know, so all of this thing is happening. Just like China, you know, it took over. They legislated God out. They closed the doors. They thought they'd close the door on God. They just opened the door for His working. Because I believe that you've got to do this. before people can get down and know what a relationship and what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. And I'm talking about people now, seem to be real wise, and yet in their wisdom reveals their stupidity. And while they're trying to legislate morality to save unborn babes, the same people that they're trying to get to move on to do this is removing God out of the picture. Now, you don't remove God out of the picture, I'll guarantee you that. God's in control, they just don't know it. They thought that they had taken and done everything fine, everything was perfect. They closed all of the churches in China, nailed the door shut. Those weren't churches anyway. Glory. Come on. Man, we've got to see. And what I'm trying to show us tonight, we've got to see past all of this. Because this can touch our emotions. And we are those, if we're led by our natural instincts and our natural thinking, then we will be caught into this. And what it does is bring us to a place of lethargy. To where we just sit and do nothing in a positive way. When I'm talking about positive in the spiritual, I'm talking about moving in faith. We don't move in faith. We just sit. We just do what comes naturally. What comes naturally to us? To come in and just play church. It's easy for us to come in and sing hymns and pray to God. Unless we're willing to persevere in prayer until we see the answer. Faith taking a hold of His Word. Or else finding out why. Paul found out why. Right? Is this our attitude of prayer? Because it gets it on down to this working as far as ministry. Because ministry is merely those channels from heaven that God has opened up to His church so that we can be fed spiritually to where we can be brought up to a place of maturity, spiritual maturity, to where we're not tossed to and fro by men with their enticing doctrines. Wicked as they are, as wonderful as they sound, don't say they don't, because that's exactly what he tells us. No longer children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness by which they lie in wait to deceive. What are we hearing? The reason we're deceived, like I heard a woman just today, it's a couple of days ago, and she says, "Well, I used to support this." Well, I won't name the names. Because it'll get us upset, you know. But I used to support this one here until something happened and morality was found in his life. I said, why did you support him even before that happened? I'll tell you why. You did not know what God was doing. So anybody that comes along. To and fro. Why are we tossed to and fro? Just because we're creatures? Just because we have emotions? No, because we're immature spiritually. And this is what these channels of blessings are opened up for, that we can grow and no longer be children tossed to and fro. That we can come to a place of bearing responsibility on the spiritual level. And that works right in tonight, beloved, into our homes. Bearing responsibility in our homes. Seeing that it's worked out. Seeing that it's carried out. Laboring. That's the last thing we like to do. We're like that miracle stuff. We like to go in and get it right now. Right? Give me the formula for right now. Right? Come on, think with me. Is this who you are? If we're not willing to look at who we are and see where we may be falling short, we'll never take and abandon that place for Jesus. But God still long-suffering with us. I thank God for that. Just like He was long-suffering with China. He's been long-suffering with Russia. As you look, it seems real comical in one way, because the things that
maybe America had 70 years ago. Russia is just now, the doors are starting to open a little bit, and the people are rejoicing. The ones that hated God are now trying to get a little glimmer of God. Tremendous, isn't it?
How stupid can we be? Because we have not been faithful. God wants us to be faithful.
And so, thus, if we're going to find this place, it's going to be a place that there's been laboring, and we have grown, we have given ourselves, we have grown. Because that's what ministry is all about. Ministry, and it tells us very clearly, as far as that, the perfecting of the saints. What does that mean? There's three aspects here of this that Paul speaks about, and different ones have said different things about it, but I just feel that it's clear for the perfecting of the saints. And then it says for the work of ministry. Why did he use work? Work is labor. Paul spoke about himself, saying that he was also a laborer. And he had finished his course. He had labored and labored and labored. He continued to labor. He said he labored day and night in prayer. Fervent prayer before the Lord for every church. Now this is Apostle Paul. Now we've got to bring this down to, you know, where God has us and the ability that we have. Because each one of us tonight are called into the family of God. All of us are not these ministers. All of us are not these channels. But these channels are to bring us to a place that we are mature, that we are growing up enough to where we're no longer unsettled by everything that comes along. We're steady. We can speak the truth in love. We've come to a place of stability. Responsibility is stability. The work of ministry. And then the other is for the edifying of the body of Christ. We're not talking about just the perfecting of the saints now. We're talking now, we're building up the body. The ministry has been given also to build up the body. There's not only the work, the laboring out here to see souls come into the kingdom of God, to see the church come together as God has designed, to see it established in life, to see people connected to the head. What a tremendous responsibility. That's a labor. In other words, Paul's laboring all the time to where there's one thing revealed. Christ, not Paul. Now you may think that as you read, but as you read on, you'll start to see that Paul wants you to see Jesus. He doesn't want you to see Paul. Would you agree with that? And so laboring sometimes starts out one way, but if it's true laboring, it's because you're building. And I'm reminded of Paul's words there in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, when he said who he was. He just speaks to us the whole working out. A wise master builder. He had wisdom. He was not one that moved just by impulse. He was wise. He knew what he was building. He had knowledge. Because I believe that wisdom must be attached to knowledge. You can't say I'm wise and you don't have any knowledge. There has to be that dual working in it, right? You have to have knowledge to have the wisdom to work it out. If you just got wisdom, what do you got wisdom about? So there is a wisdom and knowledge working together. And he's saying, I am a wise master builder. But the emphasis in saying this was, there's only one foundation. And then the warning, beware how you build on that foundation. I've laid that foundation. One foundation. That foundation is Christ. Beware how you build on it. It always is, as I read it anyway, is the way I'm looking at it. Anytime that Paul, and you think that Paul is getting ready to lift himself up and exalt himself in who he is, he just mashes the bubble and moves on in to show you what he's doing.
That's the way our lives should be.
I've often said, I don't know whether anybody else said it or not, but I think we should minister to lose our ministry. To see it manifested in others. That goes right to our families. That goes right to every member of the body of Christ. Because what are we working and laboring for in our families if it's not to bring them in and prepare them that they may be a vital member of the body of Christ? Great responsibility. One tonight, if we looked at it in an emotional manner, most of us would break down and cry. You know that's what we want. You know that's what we desire. You know that's why I pray day and night. But are we laboring? Because I believe that what Paul is talking about here is more than just praying. There must be praying, and I'm not. And when I'm saying this, I'm not taking away from that vital thrust of prayer, communion with God. But beloved, if that's all we do, then why don't we cross out this scripture here in the 11th verse where he's given these gifts. There's labor. And they're there to bring us to that place. We're called to work. To labor in love. To labor in the life of God. And if we're going to labor, we've got to see what we're laboring in. In every what measure that is. Every one of you sitting here tonight, what is the direction you're moving in? Why are you moving in that direction? Is it enough to control you? Is it enough what you see tonight to take you through some testing times? Do you stay steady or do you fall apart and you have to regroup? Do you get discouraged? Because there's always an area that feelings might feel a little low emotionally. Paul said he was knocked down a couple of times, but never knocked out. Right? Glory? Doesn't mean that we're not going to encounter some of these things, but do we see enough to get us to get up and press on? Do we see enough to where these different areas are not going to take and strangle us and bring us down to where we're helpless? To where we can't see clearly. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's a mouthful. We could stay on that for hours and hours and hours, maybe months, just on that one verse. But I desire that God speak to each one of our lives. Where the work of ministry comes, it comes to teaching. It comes to giving direction. It comes to making correction if need be. In other words, if things are not going as you directed, as you have instructed, then we make corrections. If what you saw yesterday, today you see is faulty, you have to correct that direction. Glory? Are we willing to do that? Can we respond quick enough? Or does it take us years and failures to where we finally see and we can say, okay, I need to correct the direction I'm going. If we're being led by the Spirit, we will correct these things momentarily as we move through each day. And we must, beloved. I say that without any hesitation in my own thinking or in my own... We must. Every one of us must get in tune with the Holy Spirit to where we are moved by Him. We're under His direction. We're sensing what He is saying to us. We're moving as He directs, not as we direct. Because you can do nothing. You've heard the scripture and we say it over and over again. I can do nothing of myself, and yet we go right out and try to do it. The reason I say that is because we continue to have failures. The Holy Ghost is going to correct these things. We're talking about an all-knowing God. He's the only one that can open up your eyes and make you spiritually sensitive to everything that's going on around you. Oh, you say, I don't want to be sensitive to those things. I have enough trouble myself. That's sometimes our attitude. We need to be sensitive. But can't you be too sensitive? Can you be too sensitive in the Holy Spirit? Never happened. Can you be too spiritual?
No.
Spirituality, when it is true, spirituality brings you to a place of responsibility and a life that is lived out according to the life of God. It's not something that's carried around, tossed here and there, irresponsible. It brings you down to a place that you are now, what God is designed. That cannot be done separate from Him. But I believe that as we sit here tonight, that many of us think that we can do certain things on our own. We can learn certain facts. We can apply those facts to the situation. And we have situation ethics. Oh, we don't believe in that. Praise the Lord. But that's what we do. We move to the situation rather than by the power of the Spirit. Seeing and knowing before. Knowing what we're doing, what we're building. And moving with precision, with purpose. Sure, we're going to have to pray. In fact, you're going to have to pray more when you start to see more. But you're going to have to labor. God never took the laboring out. He never took that working out here for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Some of us have the same old attitude that we left behind. We say we left behind. We don't believe this is going to happen until Jesus comes. Let me read it to you again. When Jesus comes, there will be no apostles. No prophets, don't need them. No evangelists, the work is done. No teachers, no pastors. We've come under the great shepherd. He's called us home to be ever with Him. Brought to a place of maturity without spot or without wrinkle. When's this happening in heaven? I'm just talking about our attitudes now, because a lot of times these things can slip into us and control us. We say we do not believe it. We believe this, God's doing it right now. But yet we're not laboring. I'm not talking about in the flesh. I'm not talking about you sitting up all night trying to think what you're going to do. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. Encouraging you. Provoking you tonight in love, that you come down to know what the Spirit of God, not led by voices, but led by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the knowing of God that brings God's results, that brings us into a unity, that brings that direction that we see into focus into the lives that God has put underneath of us, wherever that is, family or in the church. It's a labor of love, labor in the life of God, and we are to speak the truth. We are to stand in the truth, and the only way we can do that is if we are mature. In other words, if you're not mature, you're going to be tossed to and fro, everything that comes along. How many years have we heard about emotions, and, you know, we just haven't been able to put that together. Brother Gordon, you know we all got emotions. You know, I'm not being led by my emotions, but when the times come and the emotions come into it, then we see failure after failure after failure, and it's emotional failure. It's not God's failure. God never fails. But the thing is, we're depending on these things, how we feel, rather than on God. We're moved by our emotions. We're not moving by the Holy Spirit.
I'm not just trying to make a blanket statement, but I'm trying to encourage us tonight that we bring everything underneath control of the Spirit of God. Sure, we have some successes, and we praise God. Don't we praise God for the successes? But are you satisfied? Do you believe that we're on target? I'm talking now without being critical, because I don't feel a critical bone in my body. What I'm saying these things, I'm saying them purely to encourage us, to lift us up to where we can see into the presence of God and what He has for us. Because that's the only way. Beloved, there was two spies that came back and said, "We can." That's all I'm saying tonight as I stand before you. We can. Glory. The fruit over there in what God is doing is tremendous. Brought back a little bit to show you that it is. Pulling the grapes down to the clear down to the ground, and we're carrying them on a stick between on our shoulders. A land that flows with milk and honey. We're talking about the working of the Holy Spirit, where you enter into the rest, and it's no longer you laboring, no longer you planting, no longer you working in your own ability, but seeing the Holy Ghost and seeing the fruits of the Holy Spirit in that spirituality. Growth in God, growth in the Spirit. That is one of the most top priorities, I think, is to let the Spirit of God be in control of our life. I would say that the second is like unto it, is to know the spiritual discernment of God for the situation that we find us, because we can't be more than we are, and we can't be in some other place that we're not. And God hadn't given you a responsibility that you can't fulfill. Wherever you're at, whatever your position tonight is, whatever your station, whether it's in the family or whether it's a member of the body of Christ, God knows you're there. He's given you grace. He's called you, and you are His workmanship. Glory. You are His workmanship. And He's created you. Whatever He's done for you is that you might produce good works, and good works glorify Him. We're talking about works of faith now. We're talking about works that are under His direction. We're talking about seeing things out of His eyes. We're talking about serving. It comes right into love, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Because God attaches it to love. Speaking the truth in love. Staying in love. Staying in the life of God. Ministering Christ. Serving Him. I know these are nice words. But we've got to have a place to where that works out. We've got to find out, Lord, how does that work? You say, can you tell us? I can only give you a testimony. You can only give me a testimony. There's only one that can show you how it works, and that's the Holy Ghost. Would you agree? That's why so many people, they bring in the program and people follow the program. You can have all kind of witnessing programs, but beloved, just set a people on fire with the Holy Ghost. Something that they got that the world doesn't have around them, and I'll guarantee you they'll win more souls. Close the doors to China and set the people aflame with the Holy Ghost. What do you got? You've got more converts than any other place in the world. Glory. They have no troubles tonight getting people to come to church in Russia since they got a little bit of freedom. I understand they have 5 services in one group. You say, but they're only Baptists. I don't care what they are at this point. 5 services. Maybe that's the only place they can gather, but brother, they're gathering. 5 services. Sunday morning. No trouble. Freedom. We got all kind of freedom, don't we? All I'm saying tonight is, praise God for the freedom that we have. But He's given us that freedom that we can fulfill our ministry. And I'm not telling you what the ministry is, because the ministry is His ministry.
He's the one that takes you. He's the one that uses you. He's the one that empowers you. He's the one that gives you knowledge. He's the one that is able to show you what's going to come. He's able to give you spiritual discernment. How about, was it Elijah sitting down there and all of the army of the king surrounding him? Was that Elijah or Elisha? Elisha? I think it was. Elisha. That's right, okay. His servant was blind. He could not see. So thus he was anxious. Elisha wasn't a bit taken back. He wasn't disturbed. Greater is those that are for us than those that are with them. Lord, open up his eyes that he can see those chariots of fire. Glory be kept all around about. There was no escape for him. What I'm saying tonight is that spiritual enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. We have got to know the same lesson tonight if we know nothing else. Greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world. We're talking about God now. We're not talking about Elisha with the chariots of fire. Greater is he, greater is God in you than he that is in the world. But you have got to submit yourself to him. Are you moving in union? Are you learning about what this is all about? We are matured in the union with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Not separate, but in union. Our maturity comes in union with the Holy Spirit. It's glorious. It's every day. It's discovering God. It's not discovering things about God. It's discovering God. The Holy Spirit, when He leads you, what's He leading you in? Every aspect of it is God Himself. Every step, every discernment that he shows you where God can fill that gap and move in. And you can move in and do what? Be a channel to serve Christ. You say, I don't see that. Pray about it. Let God open up our eyes. Maybe we need to just say, Lord, I don't see. I'm blind. Because when we think that we see, we do not see. When I think that I see something, all of a sudden I don't see it. When you try to work it, you can't work it. When God's working it, all things work for good to those that love the Lord, that are called according to his purpose. Those that have entered into that plan, and we know we've been brought to a place to where we're no longer tossed to and fro. We've come to a place of maturity. Have you come to the end? No. None of us come to the end. Maturity, spiritual maturity, is not that we have become perfect. And there's no more growth to happen in our lives. But in spite of our belief, there's going to come one time where Christ is all in all. Ever what that means? I don't think any of us will know what that means until it happens. We can speculate all we want to. But right now, we can come to a place that where we're at, we're responsible, we're established. In other words, our feet are flat on the ground. We move with the purpose of God because we move with that purpose that governs us. I know I was talking to Brother Sheets one time, or maybe we were sharing back and forth, and he was talking about a ship. The controlling point that orders the movement of that ship is outside of that ship. That's what he told me anyway. I believe him because I learned some of those same things. I was fellowshipping him because I had walked in some of these things a little bit. Him probably more than me, with the responsibility that he had on that sub. But the controlling factor was not that ship. The controlling factor was outside of that ship that kept it on target. And I say tonight, the controlling factor in our life is outside, yet has come to abide within. It's not you, it's Him. It's the Holy Spirit is the controlling factor that keeps you on target as far as God's purpose and keeps you functioning and causes you to be that channel. And beloved, don't think for 1 minute that we're looking for some man. All of us are channels. All of us are channels. And that's not taking away from this 11th verse, is it? Glory? When he says we all of you are his workmanship, he doesn't speak just about the ministers. We all are his workmanship. Created. He created us. For what? For himself. And for his works. His good works. That we should do what? Do what? Walk in. So we need to move. Let me close with this. Coming back to this aspect of the 12th verse. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of ministry. I don't care where you're called to minister. It's a labor. And if you don't see that, it doesn't take long to become discouraged. And you say, well, I've done all that I can do. And you have. That's where God can take and step in if you'll let Him. You need to have come to the end of yourself at the beginning. And then God could be laboring all the time and you wouldn't give up. And then you can say with the Apostle Paul, I've finished my course. Sometimes we just say that, it sounds good. I've kept the faith. Brother, those things have come from maturity. Those are a testimony of the power of Christ. Comes from an anointed life. Look at who fits into that thing. Yes, Paul said those words, but each one of us can say those words, that we have finished the course that God has laid out for us. And there's a crown laid up for each one, not just Paul. And brother, I'm not taking away from Paul. We're all probably going to shake the hand of Paul as he shakes the hands of you. You don't know who's going to be. It says the least are going to be the greatest. And if Paul was the greatest, he's going to be the least. And the least are going to be the greatest. Hello, least, huh? God turns these things around. I mean, they're not like we think. But the one thing that Paul tells us, if God has given you something, you're a steward of what He's given you. Be faithful in it. And tonight, you are servants. Every one of you are servants with the grace that God has given you. Be faithful in it.